Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Sutta Uvacha. Sukaye tam kalapadai. Parinita kilodaya, Vanda jahasa vaikunto, Mahayani vamaya. Translation. Sita Goswami said, the Lord was hearing the prayers of Kunti Dev composed in choice words to his glorification. He might be smiled, that smile was as enchanting as his mystic power, purport. Excuse me. Anything that is enchanting in the world is said to be a representation of the Lord. The conditioned souls who engage in trying to lord it over the material world are also enchanted by his mystic power. But if devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord and his merciful blessings upon them, his energy is displayed in different ways. Electrical energy works in manifold capacities. Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enunciate a fragment of his glories. All his devotees worship him in that way by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glory, and yet he is satisfied by such prayers as the Father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. The word Maya is used both in the sense of delusion and energy. Herein, the word Maya is used in the sense of the Lord's mercy upon Kunti Dev. Om Jnana Timuram Dasya Jnanam Jnana Savakaya Yaksu Vimilatam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vijaytan Yamano Vishtam Nafitam Yena Bhutale Ayam yupatidamayam vidati sapadantidam adhadanasyanam dante idam yache puna puna imadhu papadam boja dilusham janma janmani vayagya yudbhakti visham priyatnai apayam namana dhritsya mangam kupam buhiya paratuka dhuti Sanatanasam Pagamatsyami Pancha Kalpa Tiru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Paye Vicha Matitanam Bhavane Yo Yo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vyadvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. I just rushed over here from the Bhaktivedanta Sadhana Ashram, where every night we meet for Harikatha. And tonight, Murijan Prabhu is also there, along with Jayadvaita Swami, Keshava Bharti Goswami, and Vaisheshika Prabhu, and a few devotees, and Pancharatna Prabhu, another god brother, and some junior devotees, and discussing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. just share just one point that I gave class today at the Sanskrit school of Gopi Pranadana. The Bhagavatam class at 6:30 in the morning, so I rushed over there after my puja. And it was a kind of a verse, and I was wondering, how am I going to speak about the verse? It was the section where Draupadi was giving the reasons why not to kill Ashwatthama. And she said, by his mercy, you learn the military science. And the whole purport was about the military science and how it's finer than material science. And so that that was mostly a point that, you know, it was a side point of the verse, but Prabhupada chose to elaborate on it, thinking of the people who were getting the books who had, you know, didn't have faith yet, perhaps, in the glories of the Vedic culture, et cetera, things like that. But it didn't seem to have that much relevance to the class as much who were the, you know, Sanskrit students. They're a very good audience. Very humble people, and live austerely here in Govardhan, and really are all ears for the class. But there was another point that came up that I thought she was saying, she was pleading by his mercy. Sikshita, I got some instruction. Therefore you should spare Ashwatthama. And the point that I was harping on that I kind of wanted to share with you that I thought was most interesting is the nature of gratitude in a proper culture. And I was explaining how, due to the way we brought up in the West, some of these qualities and some of the culture wasn't instilled in us to the same degree. And I was giving the example here of the gratitude of Draupadi. In other words, people are just trained to be so grateful, especially to those who give them knowledge, that imagine this, and if she was so grateful to Ashwatthama for giving knowledge to Arjuna, to Dronacharya, she was so grateful to Dronacharya that that gratitude was so deep that she did not want to punish his son who killed all her children. Can you imagine the extent of natural inborn gratitude that's in a proper culture, how it's instilled in the heart? I was also talking about the verse, Acharya Mam Bijanayam, Nava Manyeta Karcha. You should see the Acharya as my very self. Knowledge was so revered that anyone who gave knowledge, material or spiritual, is to be seen as God. That's what that verse actually means. It doesn't directly mean this. It can be applied to the spiritual master, but in the context of where it's spoken in the Bhagavatam, it applies to anyone who gives knowledge. So the whole culture of the society was geared to instill within people faithfulness and gratitude. I was explaining why, because it's connected so much to spiritual life, these qualities. I remember in Dallas in 1974, when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada, any questions? And a godbrother named Jana Gumbia, 6'6", even though he wasn't from Texas. He looked like a Texan. He stood and he said, Prabhupada, how can we repay you? Prabhupada said, just remain obliged. And then I was writing these Japa realizations, And it kind of tied in, and I wanted to share that with the devotees, that in my japa, my meditation was, my first meditation was searching for my gratitude. And I realized that because I grew up in the West, it's not so ingrained, actually. I had to search for it. And I mean, you search for it through the gifts that you've gotten spiritually, and then meditate on the people that have given them. And then I kind of had this understanding that unless you have the quality of gratitude, you cannot appreciate things properly. In a relationship to Krishna consciousness, appreciation for Krishna and things in relationship to Krishna is shraddha or faith. And shraddha or faith is the seed of praying. So gratitude, I was saying, is actually the seed of praying. If you don't have that consciousness, and that's why we offer prayers, Mangalacharanas, we remember great saints. It's something that we actually have to cultivate and put our consciousness in that mood. It's also connected with humility. To put ourselves in a consciousness that we can appreciate. We can appreciate the holy name given by Guru. Not, and the prayer of gratitude by Raghunath Das Goswami, Nama Shrestham Manumati Sachiputram Atrasarupam Rupam Tasyadajam Uruparim Matara Gosavatim Radha Kundam Girivara. All the things, but Nama, that's the name, Nama Shrestham. The candy means first we've got the holy name of the Siddhic succession. You should think of Prabhupada, think of the spiritual master, the gratitude, the getting the holy name. And that consciousness will give us the appreciation that will enable us to focus and value. So I thought, like, what the nature of that proper culture is, that Kunti is feeling gratitude. Because sikshita tad anugrahaya, because of the mercy of instructions that came to her husbands from Dronacharya, even though that same person, in other words, her sense of gratitude to Dronacharya was stronger than her sense of vengeance or hate for someone who killed their own sons. What a positive culture. What a positive culture. And then I was also recalling this definition of culture that I read in one book, where it said that culture is the purposeful organization of your world, how you surround yourself with, you know, social organization and art, whatever it is, ways you relate, for the purpose of creating impressions in the heart that enable one to communicate better, to relate better, and to learn better. Cultured person, he knows how to relate. If a cultured person, he knows how to be a friend. He knows how to be a subordinate or servant, a disciple, a son. He knows how to be a superior. But he's nourished, and a cultured person is nourished in heart by love. And is there any wonder in the modern world, as the family structures break down, as they become nuclear families and so many things, and as they say, there's a saying in America, every young girl wants to be 20, and every lady who's 50 wants to be 20. People don't progress in the proper ages, even. You know, the elders don't know how to give mercy. You know, they dress the same way, they act the same way. See, so you've got a culture where people are not nourished in heart, and therefore you have so much mental illness, et cetera. So many things are there. So when I was honing in on that verse and appreciating, you know, the nature of that culture, how it instills within one. I read one book also, and I'm trying to recall where it is, some commentary where gratitude was discussed as a fundamental component of developing bhakti. So that was interesting, I thought. It was nice to discuss that. Of course, we're in this section where Krishna's been introduced personally, and we're seeing his glory. Glory is his personal dealing. His glory is that Krishna's glory is not that, is not simply that he is above. It's his glory is that he loves. Even if it takes him to the position below the person that he loves. It's the driver of Arjuna on the chariot. How wonderful. And now we see him dealing with the Pandavas personally, and we just previously, oh wait, you know what happened here? Okay. We see him dealing, and then we had, I was going back, and I'm going to go back that far, but we see him leaving, and we see the heart of the devotees, they're attached. They're attached to Krishna, they're attached to loving Krishna, they're attached to serving Krishna. And therefore they want to be with Krishna to do so. Very natural. And we see the sentiment as Krishna is leaving Hastinapur. And we see the mood of Kunti. And we heard all the prayers and about which express the utter dependent mood of the devotees. Namo Kinchaya Vitaya Vitaya. They value nothing else but Krishna and things in relationship to Krishna. Everything else is their mood. And that mood is expressed in their words and their actions towards Krishna. It endears Krishna so much. Krishna, I am yours. You are mine. Okay, that's the high one. But they're giving themselves totally to Krishna. Kinkari, what you want, I will do. Ashri Shiva, Kadaratam, Kanastivam, Madarshanam. Doesn't matter. I am yours. And that is my fortune, that is my happiness. You know, and it's so we see these wonderful prayers, and we see also in the prayers that the nature of Krishna is that he reciprocates that love. That's his glory, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. At the very beginning, Krishna is described as Akila Rasamrita Murti, the embodiment of relationship. It's not just power, position. Hitler was the head of Germany. But does that make him a glorious or superior person? If there's no love in his heart? The superiority of God, who is a person, is not just that he rules, but that he also that he serves the devotees and reciprocates with them. And we can see how can your heart not be won by a devotee who gives himself to you? So now we're in the section, and I think I'm hopefully today going to be able to finish towards the end, and we'll get to the one of my favorite stories in the Bhagavatam. Maybe next is the story of Bhishma Dev. So I'm just going to, I always go by the verses here. Kunti's tells, you know, Krishna, seven my ties of affection. And we see a dependent devotee is ashamed of any apparent self-interest. Look at the value system of a devotee's heart. He's embarrassed by any whiff of self-interest. Madhavendra Puri, when he was traveling in South India to get after they got the Gopal Vidhi, right here in Govardhan, we're 5 minutes away from Jatipur and Govindakund, with these deities, and Govardhan Puja. It was very, very sweet. I walked halfway around in the morning from 6:30 to 8:30, 2 hours, walked halfway around the Govindakund side on that day, chanting, he passed those things. Madhavendra Puri, when they got the deity that was hidden for so many years, it was the deity that was established by Vrajanava of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And he saw the deity was hot. So let me get some sandalwood paste. And then on his way, where he could get the sandalwood in Aritzia, he stops in the Ramuna. And the deity Shira Chura Gopinath became named because of that pastime. And he just was looking and he saw this incredible, loving expression of love in the form of kheer, cooked down milk, perfectly done. And he thought, oh, my deity would like that. Maybe I could taste some. Immediately he condemned himself. He was really in the mood of service, but the whiff of self-interest for the pure devotee. Raghunath Das, we cannot imitate. We can try to follow these principles. Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is taking a little buttermilk, sipping it, and then thinking, whiff of self-interest. So she was thinking, a whiff of self-interest. Oh, she's thinking, I have my kinsmen, the Pandavas, and my immediate family, the Rishis from my paternal side. And she started thinking, oh, if Krishna lives here, then what about the Pandavas? And but if that, you know, but if he stays here, then what about the Rishis? And she think, oh, self-interest. I'm thinking in terms of self-interest. Oh, she wasn't, actually. She was thinking, as a devotee, I want the mercy of Krishna everywhere. But the apparent self-interest. And then she's praying to Krishna so intensely, let my attraction be drawn to you like the Ganges flows to the river without hindrance, without being diverted to anyone else. This is what I want. Just pure. The pure reality, which actually, that's reality. The part of Krishna was meant for his service. No more illusion that there's anything separate from Krishna. And I just knocked some little things about proper. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. At least in that type of society, that the vision is more strict. And sometimes, except the people who are legitimate, the days of yore, the renunciates, to walk out into the forest with the natural gifts of God, depending on God. Nothing's mentioning that. I was obliged and to ask in it. So she's thinking like that. And then, so let it flow to the sea, and Prabhupada says, therefore the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical change in activity. Because Prabhupada's making this very, very clear that this attraction to Krishna, um, giving yourself to Krishna, and he just describes that, you know, affection for others is natural. So I mean, it's very nice how he's making this clarification. So it's not to negate the human sentiments, the human desires. It's just to change its course. And this is what Kunti is praying for. And a classic example Prabhupada gave is Arjuna. And then he explains why it's true, and then Kunti explains Krishna's position. This is why I'm saying these things, because Krishna is God. He is the worthy object. That's our natural position. We're part of Him. We're meant. That's the natural condition. We're part of God. We're meant for this service. And when we function that way, we're functioning according to our eternal nature. And there's harmony in our life. That's it's very natural because this is who we are. We're part of God. He's saying, yes, my affection should flow to you. Why? Sri Krishna, Krishna Sakka Vishabhavanidhu. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Vishnu, to all the qualities of the Almighty God, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. And now the today's verse, and hopefully we'll finish towards the end. Sita Goswami is speaking. Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti, composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power. So hearing these prayers, even the shloka, they would be the topmost transcendental prayers, but there's no amount of words that can sufficiently glorify God. Because God is unlimited. And there's no amount of words that sufficiently can glorify Him. But He is satisfied by the loving prayers. I thought to give a simple example, like a father. Not that the child has to, but even if there's broken language with affection, I got daddy, I love you, the person just breaks down. Oh. And so we were talking about that today in one of our discussions. We were talking about, one young man asked the question, what about if people who are not devotees, et cetera, they gather together and they chant the holy name, and, you know, they have kirtan, and, you know, what's the effect? But in the discussion, it came out that there's a quality for the kirtan depending on the purity and motive of the people. So I like that kirtan in New York by these devotees from Ananta and Achyuta Gopi and them, when they chant, they have such a nice purity. It's glorification of Krishna. They're not showmen it comes in, and therefore that type of kirtan is very, very special. When the motive is pure, it's a very, very special type of kirtan. Just like King Prataparudra, when he was seeing, Narendra Sarovara, all the Bengali Vaishnavas were coming to Puri for the first time, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greeting him with the Ariya Vaishnavas, and no one had seen yet Advaita Acharya, and, you know, all the associates of Srivas Acharya, and Srivas, they haven't seen all these people. You know, so imagine when they first came and they're introducing them, and then they start kirtan. And in fact, the Guruji said, "I've never heard kirtan like this." Because there is professional kirtan, but kirtan by pure Vaishnavas, who, you know, there's no personal motive. There's not It's not about you, it's about the kirtan. The Trinadati kirtan. The kirtan is for the glorification of Krishna. Everybody's focused on that. They're focused on the kirtan. The sound that comes out for the pleasure of Krishna with love. And Borjan told a very interesting story because he said that in the late 60s, there was a band in New York called the Thugs, and they came to see Prabhupada. And then they put out an album, and they had this chanting of Hare Krishna on it. And in Prabhupada's introduction to the Happenings album, he mentions the kirtan of people who are not devotees is like the milk touched by the lips of servant. Borjan said the Prabhupada was specifically referring to that and the album that they did. So here, this Uttama Shloka, the Lord is hearing the prayers. What is he hearing? He's hearing the prayers that are composed of love. It comes from Bhav. It has soul. And sometimes you like a singer who has like real Bhav. Not just a professional singer, but if the Bhav comes out. There's this wonderful devotee. We go to see Narayan Maharaj. And he was a brahmachari when Prabhupada was at that mutt. And when Prabhupada was leaving 30 years ago, Prabhupada asked about him, and he said, "Is Seshayu still brahmachari?" And Ramai said, "Yes." "He's still brahmachari today." And Guru Govinda Swami, who's in the lineage, the parivar of Elvis Presley, because his father is in the Country Music Hall of Fame. His father actually discovered Elvis Presley. He was a booking agent. Govinda Swami used to grow up. He tells stories where Elvis took him to the county fair and sat on Johnny Cash's lap, and there was a kind of transference of Shakti there. But Bibi Govinda Swami, who has that sense, and he heard this Seshayu Brahmachari, he used to sing. And he had such a deep voice, and he used to sing. Now, of course, I'm not a singer, but he used to sing. Sriupa Manjarikada Te Mora Sampada Te Mora Bhajana Pujana Te Mora Bhajana Pujana. Bibi Govinda Swami turned to me and said, "Seshayu, Krishna is the ultimate glue center." Rich. So what are these prayers? The Lord hearing the prayers. He heard the prayers, these wonderful prayers by Kunti. Because they were composed purely of love. And therefore he smiled, and Kapha makes in the purports another thing. That this is very special. This is these glories. The glories of Krishna's merciful blessings. Because there's so much glory in this world, is his position, his power, but the glory of his merciful blessing, which comes in his enchanting smile of approval or favor. Now you imagine Kunti, she loves Krishna. And Krishna smiles. Krishna smiles in appreciation. When the coward boy swallowed the forest fire and died, and then Krishna woke them up by his glance, the mercy of Krishna overwhelmed their hearts with his love. And then they had another experience. They had a feeling of unity among them, a catharsis. They were experiencing the same thing, which was Krishna's mercy, which created a unity and love among them. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mithi. This is the society of Krishna consciousness. Everyone is sharing in that wonderful experience of Krishna's mercy and love. Pambadamityukha mantra pradishya vrajasa ayam Yatcha swaparam yatyam prena raja divarita. That's accepting the prayers of Srimati Kunti. Accepting the prayer. Someone who loves, and then they accept your offer. How the heart must feel. The Lord subsequently informed other ladies of his departure by entering the palace. He's about to leave, but upon preparing to leave, he was stopped by Yudhisthira, who implored him lovingly. So prema. He was stopped by prema. He was stopped by love. So Krishna, this is very important. Krishna is arrested by love. That's that Bhagavatam verse. Like, what is it? Sadyo, Virajite, Chakadidi, Shushidi, Takshana. Without delay, Virajite, he's arrested in the heart. Krishna cannot move. This is the Paramaguyam, the top secret. Krishna is the supreme controller. He's stopped or arrested by love. He's controlled. He's forced by love. But that's the opulence of a person. A person reciprocates in love. That's wonderful. But a person you give everything to, you give your life to, and then no reciprocation. No response. Is he powerful or is he weak? This type of being controlled is a symptom of the heart, a symptom of the big heart. So, Prabhupada says in the purport, this signifies that the power of King Yudhisthira was loving affection, which the Lord could not deny. The Almighty God is thus conquered only by loving service and nothing else. He is fully independent in all his dealings, but he voluntarily accepts obligations by the loving affection of his pure devotees. Yes? Yasadhyā īśvareha yai krishnena bhūta kāmanā pabodhita Kati Hasai Nabu Yatta Sujapita. King Yudhisthira, who was much aggrieved, could not be convinced, despite instructions by great sages headed by Vyasa and Lord Krishna himself, the performer of superhuman feats, and despite all historical evidence. And now we're going to go into the next week because Yudhisthira lovingly stops him. And he's aggrieved in heart. And he's aggrieved in heart because he's pure in heart, so when you're pure in heart, you see your fault. Glass of water is clean. A speck of us becomes apparent. It's very muddy. You can put so much stuff in and you can't notice that there's any difference. Someone who's clean in heart, he notices his faults, even if it's apparent fault. And this is a very millions of people are killed and even thrown. He also understands that actually Gildna is a little cruel, but he's actually a good leader of the citizens. Things are going well. But he somehow sees this as some type of ambition or personal attachment. And therefore, he sees himself responsible for what happened. Although, he did not act on his own desire. This is how one gets free of karma, even though you're acting. If you're acting upon the order and desire of someone else, then you don't get the results that are there. Like if someone tells a child, you go get the flowers, and goes to a neighbor's garden and picks the flowers, the child gets caught. It's not his fault. It's the person who asked him to get it. Because the flowers are not for the child. The child doesn't do it out of personal motive. He's not the cause of the action. The person who desires the activity is the cause of the action. The same thing with Yudhisthira. The analysis will be, it's not his fault, but we see that there's a very sensitive part of the devotee. I wrote it in my journal, not maybe some of you read it, maybe you all do, maybe some of you don't. But I had that story and that experience. Actually, Krishna Prajaya great part. He told me he was on a train in India and he bought a ticket. And everyone was getting on, so you know, they squeeze you and they sit on your seat. You know, so people are getting on the train. So Jared Latham Maharaj, he employed the American conception of reality. I bought the seat. It's my seat. So he stiffened up that this guy was trying to squeeze in on the seat. And then Jared Latham Maharaj said, the guy just looked at him and said, where's your heart? And Jared Latham Maharaj, he said it really hit him strongly. Where's your heart? Anyway, that's the Indians, it's all sharing. I mean, it's a whole different mentality. It's hard when you're a Westerner to get into it. But anyway, the point is, we had a nice discussion of the subtlety. And I gave the example, I was taking this devotee, Shamarupa, from Boston, around Govardhan, you know, and this is his first time in India. We went into this little Jagannath temple. I didn't tell you this. Went into this little Jagannath temple. And when I went into this little Jagannath temple, you know, it's two people in that whole temple. It's so small. I gave 100 rupees. That's big. And then, because he was with me, Shamarupa, it's his first time in India, he took out his wallet. And I thought, this is ridiculous. He's going to give another 100 or something. So as he's taken, I said, no need. Right? And we were right in front of the pujari, but I thought I'd do it discreetly. You know, I kind of pointed, maybe. Pujari said, look, I don't want the money. Not the point, but I just want to tell you that's offense. He said, just like Shukracharya, stop Vamana from giving charity to Vishnu. Or stop Bali from giving charity to Vamana or Vishnu. And he said, Shukracharya, that was offense. I'd say that Sham didn't something. And he said, yeah, and I think that Seva opera has a little subtlety in there. A little subtlety. So one is very sensitive to Vaishnava, very, very sensitive to others. Vaisheshika Prabhu, a very learned Vaishnava, very pure Vaishnava, completely absorbed in chanting the hearing, completely, all day. It's great. And very nice, and he never... He dedicated himself to distributing Prabhupada's books, and he's molded his life that he's like the perfect gentleman, because he feels that that's ultimately it's not why he does it, but it's connected. He feels that's ultimately what someone who distributes books should do. I don't know if you want to. Okay, I'll finish it. It's ultimately what a representative should do. So he was talking to me in case you brought me later, and he told that he has, you know, four things that really helped him develop his character. He said one is, he said, he got this from somewhere, impeccable language. Impeccable means, he said he's from the Latin, it means without sin. It's so important. I can just see in my whole life what the effect of things I have said, not just that, but daily. And just to be conscious of language, that it should never harm another. I could see it. And I was meditating on that and praying, you know, because, you know, it's so easy to be annoyed with others, you know, who actually may disturb you, may interrupt you, may do this, whatever. Okay, there are some people here from my class, but I have to get back to the temple. Tomorrow we're going to go to Teotihuacan. And Ariel, some of you know, he was with me, and Haley, they're going to come out. We're going to go to Teotihuacan. I got some donations for there from the West, and he's going to go out there for a few hours and sit in the sublime forest, but these devotees now will go. Okay? And I will okay. See you tomorrow after Prasad, okay? Okay. So I really like you said impeccable language. That's the first thing. And I'm meditating. How important. How our words, out of anger or envy, have harmed others, even subtly. And I'm just seeing, I'm here in Vrindavan, so I have more control over myself because the chanting and hearing more. But I really want impeccable language. I want my words to hurt anyone. You know? And then he said, and the second principle was don't assume anything. And he gave the example, one year he was on the Pikram path, and a dog brother walked by quickly, looked at him, didn't say anything, and walked by. And he was really upset. He didn't see this person for a long time. And he was really, really upset the whole day, you know, how cold the person was. And then what happened was, he saw him a couple of days later, and he said, yeah, how come you just walked by me, and you looked at me, and the guy said, how did you, were you on the Pikram path? He was saying, you should, and how much time is our mind absorbed in things we have assumed without actually establishing as fact? So I thought that's really also a good subtlety and purity. I really should like to follow that, not to assume anything. A lot of our hostilities and anger and dislike and is for things that don't even exist. And I bet you a lot of it is. We develop so many conceptions in our mind based on assumption. Then the third thing he said, very nice, and don't take something personally. And he gave an example that some devotee came to him for a donation. And he gave him a donation. Then he found out that the guy was really angry that that's all he gave. And he thought, I gave a nice donation. Then he thought, really? I'm not taking it personally. That's the person's problem. That's not my problem. How many times we're offended by others, but actually speaking, that's their problem, not ours. And then the last principle, and he said, is try our best. We may not be perfect, but we can always try our best. And even if we haven't tried our best, we can try our best now. But the point I'm making here is about Yudhis here as a sensitive Vaishnava. And look at this one. I'm enthroned with all the people that were killed. So that was... And the interesting thing is, he's not pacified. He cannot be convinced. Despite instructions by great sages, by Vyasa and Lord Krishna, himself, and he's not pacified, and Prabhupada explains that that's the super soul, because this section of the Bhagavatam I really like. I call it the mind. I wanted to write something on it, but even a book called The Mind of God. The Bhagavatam reveals the mind of God. The mind of God is that he has loving relationships with his devotees, and therefore he is thinking of their desires. This is what God is thinking. God is thinking of the desire, because he's loving everyone. And when you love others, you're living in their world. You're thinking of their desires. That's what a servant means. That's what a servant means. He's thinking of the pleasure of others. And therefore, he's willing to live in their world. Live in their desires. Live in their fears. And Krishna is thinking of the desires of Bhishmadev, his devotee, who is a surrendered soul. And therefore, he wants Bhishmadev to see his grandson before he leaves the world. Before Bhishmadev, he wants to see his grandson established as the king. He also wants to glorify him. And this will be there. I'm going to stop for today. Are there any questions? Okay. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Nanda Dulal. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Go, Nanda Dulal. Jai. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maharaj. Did Krishna Dashi called you? She reached already
Who?
Vrindavan.
What's that?
Shottabhama.
She didn't call me yet. When did she call me?
What's that? No, she's in Vrindavan now.
Well, she didn't call me yet. I mean, I have one missed call, but how long has she been in Vrindavan?
She's there, I think, 3 days before.
I did not get call yet, so I don't know.
Okay. Shottabhama told that, no, she gave the number, and I gave the number, and I don't know how she missed me.
I'll check, because I was out today, and I left my phone to recharge for the class. When I came back, there was some kind of number here. So maybe, let me see. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Gopa Kishore.
Was that Gopa?
Yes, Gopa Kishore.
Oh, Hare Bo.
How was your puja?
Thank you. It was quite nice. It was really nice. I'm staying in this very nice little. It's a small ashram, and I live with this very nice devotee, he even wrote an offering for my Vyasa Puja, Nityananda. You know, he's very nice. And there's an old lady, a disciple of Parthasarathy, Ananga Manjari. And she's very spiritually advanced, very humble soul. So she worships, I mean, it's so beautiful to see. She has about 30 or 40 Govardhan Shilas. They're very beautiful. And I brought my deity over there, and then we had a anakut from the sweets from Giriraj Mistan Mandar, the famous sweet shop. And then we served them out to all the devotees that came to the program at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram. And, you know, it was really nice. It was really sweet. Oh, yeah, and then right after I did that, then I went on a half Govardhan Purukha, which is very sweet to be naturally on Govardhan Puja. A lot of mercy. Yeah, it was quite, you know, nice.